Good morning, Kingwood. It's a pleasure to be here, a delight to be here. I've actually had the honor and the privilege of being with the Kingwood congregation many times over my 40 years of ministry here in the Houston area. My first time here, though, on a Sunday. But you need to know that I have great respect for this church. I honor this church family. I have great respect for your stability and your unity and your ministry over the years. And you need to know that I am praying for you, my wife Martha and I, this morning. We were praying for churches in the area, and we prayed for the Kingwood Church of Christ to bless you right now in this season. Okay, I want to honor your time today and sort of get into what I want to talk about. What the title of the message is, God Describing God. But you need to know that what I'm going to do today, and Lord willing, I'm going to be with you a few more times during the summer, I'm going to give you a little push. I care about you, but I'm going to push you a little bit. I'm going to be pushing you to take your next step as a man of God or a woman of God. You know, I'm 67 years old. I've been a Christian a long time, but I still have a next step as a man of God, and you do too. What's your next step? Hopefully, you don't have the attitude where you say, you know, I've arrived. No. You got to keep acting on your faith. You want your faith to grow, you got to keep acting on it and walking by faith. For some of you, your next step is just to come back to church next Sunday. This might be your first time coming to church, your first time coming to church in a long time. Come back next Sunday. For some of you, your next step is to start that Bible study. No matter how smart you are, you still need to be taught the Word of God. One of the smartest people in the Bible, a government official, said, I need you to teach me. For some of you, your next step is, okay, get serious about letting someone teach you the gospel of Jesus. For some of you, your next step is to be baptized. For some of you, your next step is to engage in a specific congregation, and this is a good one. When my kids were younger, we were at a water park one day. My son was just a little guy, but he had seen me going down this giant speed slide, and he said that he wanted to try it. I thought it was fine. His mom wasn't crazy about the idea, but I take my little boy Ryan to the top of that speed slide, and as you can well imagine, the view from the top was much more intimidating than the view from the bottom. And as he's seated there, perched, ready to go, he turns and looks at me, and with that little boy voice says, nope, Dad, don't want to go, change my mind. So I obviously did what any gentle-spirited father would do. Oh, yeah, I pushed him. And to this day, I can still hear that blood-curdling scream. I'm talking about my wife, of course, but my son, when he got to the bottom of that thing, oh, he loved it. He spent the rest of his day going down the speed slide. How many of you, I know I've been in this boat, I am so thankful that someone along the way gave me a little push, just a little love nudge to go in the direction where I really, really wanted to go. And I'm trying to do that for you today, okay? Now, if a 10-year-old were to ask you, what is God like? How would you answer that question? What's your vocabulary there? What's God like? Well, you see, to know God and to love God, you actually have to know God based on His terms. How many people have you ever heard say, well, you know, my God would never, or I don't think God would, you know. I care about you, but listen, I'm going to speak frankly to you. The God of your imagination does not exist. The God of your imagination does not exist any more than the IRS of your imagination exists. Just doesn't happen. Thankfully, our God has revealed Himself to us, and we can know Him on the basis of how He has revealed Himself to us. And the source of that information is the Bible, the Word of God. And I'm going to take you today to a scripture, which is what I would call the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Let me put something up here on the screen. Some numbers. There you go. This is how you're going to remember this particular passage of Scripture. I believe it's the most important passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. 1. 2, it's in the second book of the Bible, Exodus. 3, 4, it's chapter 34. 5, 6, 7, verses 5, 6, and 7. Now, the setting for this scripture is the golden calf episode. And Moses has told the Lord, "Lord, I want to see you. Show me your glory." And the Lord says to Moses, in essence, "You can't handle my glory. There's no way you could even survive if you were to see the full measure of my glory. But Moses, here's what I'll do. I'll let you see the afterglow. I'll pass by and you can see the afterglow. And even more than that, Moses, I'm going to give you my name. Because when you know someone's name, you know a little something about them. You've got a personal connection. Don't we, James? Don't we, Tim? I know your name. You know my name." Here's the scripture. Exodus 34. Number one, it's the most important text in the Old Testament, I think. 2, second book of the Bible. 3, 4, chapter 34. 5, 6, and 7, verses 5 through 7. "Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh." This is God's name, literally to be, or I am. "The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord." And in your English Bible, if ever you see the word Lord in all capitals, that's letting you know it's Yahweh, a term found thousands of times throughout the Bible. And now, listen, you don't have to wonder. God is revealing his personality to you. What's God like? Here's his business card. What's God like? Here's his calling card. Here it is. You ready? Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger. I am filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generations. All right, I've got 3 simple points today. Here's the first one. Yahweh God is better than you can even imagine. He is better than you can even imagine. All right, let's go to this next screen, please. And let me just walk through again. God's self, his own calling card, his business card to you. The God of compassion and mercy. I love that. Compassion is a feeling term. Mercy is an action term. He says, "You want to know something about me? I'm not an inanimate it. Where do you think you get your capacity to feel? From me. You're made in my image. I'm the God of compassion. I care for you. And I have mercy upon you." Mercy. In other words, one who could be no stronger sees you who could be no weaker. And he says, "I care about you and I can do something about it. I will act in your favor." The God of compassion and mercy. Next, I am slow to anger. Literally, I have a long nose. Hebrews thought anger started in the nose. And when they wanted to say someone was slow to anger, they'd say they're long-nosed. You know, somebody gets mad. You know, it starts in the nose. God says, "I got a long nose. I can get angry, but I'm slow to anger." Next, I am filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Unfailing love. Loyal love. Dependable. Romans 8 kind of love. You can't outrun it. You run a mile, his love is there. You run 5 miles, his love is there. You run a marathon, His love is there. You run a million miles, His love is there. And faithfulness will not let you go. His determined, relentless, persevering care for His people. I heard a story about a teenage girl who was going through a difficult time, making some really poor choices, making some goofy decisions. She goes out one night with some friends. She gets arrested. DUI. Her mother goes down to the police station to retrieve her. She walks in. She hands her daughter, who had been arrested earlier that night, a gift wrap box. He said, "Open it." She did. Inside that box was a rock. She said, "Very funny, Mom. Cute." Mom said, "Read the note. Read the note." She opened the note. It said, "This rock is more than 2,000 years old. And it's going to take at least that long before I would ever, ever give up on you." God says, "You want to know who I am? You're not going to know who I am just by navel gazing. If you know you've got a God of your imagination, because He just likes what you like and doesn't like what you don't like. Your favorite ice cream is strawberry. His favorite ice cream is strawberry. You've got a God of your imagination." He says, "You want to know who I'm like? Here's what I'm like. I'm a God of compassion and mercy. I got a long nose. I have faithful and steadfast love. And I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations." In other words, Moses, I love you. And I love your family. But it's not just you forward no more. I have a love to multiple generations. And all people are welcome under my umbrella of grace. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations, and now next, here we go. And I forgive, you listening? Let this sink in. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. All shapes and sizes and degrees, I forgive. I don't overlook it. I forgive it. Literally, it's lifted up from you. Not just little sins. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But then the Lord says, but I do not excuse the guilty. And some people see a contradiction. There's no contradiction. There's a tension. Because I got to tell you, to be forgiven, you have to first be guilty, right? And so I've been forgiven of my guilt, of my sin, iniquity, and rebellion. But God says, but I do not excuse the guilty. Listen very, very clearly. God forgives sin. He forgives the worst sin. He forgives yours. He will lift that burden from you. He will send it away so that it's no longer a part of the equation. But He will not overlook unrepentant sin. He will not overlook a spirit that says, I want nothing to do with you. When you get to heaven, there's going to be a sign there that says, no trespassing. And you're going to be there because you have been forgiven of the worst sins. But the people who will not be there will be those who have rejected the offer of salvation. And, listen carefully, the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. This is our great God. This is Him. Compassionate, abundant love, faithful. He's got a long nose. He's slow to get angry. He forgives the worst, and yet he's discerning as well. He's not a marshmallow. Now, here's the second point I want to make very quickly. Let me put it here on the screen. Who Yahweh is it has massive, massive implications for us. I'm just going to touch on this. If we are to be godly people, we take the character of God and seek to imitate it, right? May I just take a couple of those qualities and ask how you're doing? How about his faithfulness, his loyalty? How are you doing with being dependable? In an NIL world where everybody is a free agent and is quick to jump ship for a little higher paycheck, how are you doing at being dependable when the average length of a marriage these days is 8 years? Are you willing to be the kind of person where you're going to persevere through the emotional highs and lows? And someone has defined faithfulness as a long obedience in the same direction in an age of instant gratification. Don't get me wrong. I love, you know, on-demand TV. I love same-day delivery. But not every good thing in life can be microwaved. We persevere through it. And then how you doing with forgiveness? Are you compassionate and merciful? You got a long nose? You forgive iniquity and sin? If you're going to be a healthy church for a long period of time, it is imperative that you become a master forgiver. Because if you do not become a master forgiver, here's what will happen. You'll sit back in your pew, and you'll be here. But you'll say, you're not going to get my best. Not even close to it. You get 20% of me. You get 25% of me. And trust me, I've been in the same church 40 years. I understand this. A lot of times we get wounded, and it's not some big thing. It's just the accumulation of paper cuts. And paper cuts hurt. And God's nature, he says, look, I need you to function in this world. I need you to represent me. I need you to take these qualities that are actually very, very good for you. Good for you and your emotional and mental health. Certainly your spiritual health. If you'll take these qualities and bring them home, take them to church, you're going to see positive results. Now, very quickly, third point, let me put it up here. I know I've skipped a couple of things. Point three, there, one more, there we go. Who Yahweh God is can fill you with bold confidence. And this is important because, my friends, I want you bold. I want you bold and confident in serving the Lord with joy. Serving the Lord with energy, having a sense of confidence where you stand in Him. And so here's a scripture out of Hebrews chapter 4. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. And this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, and yet he did not sin. So listen now. You ready? Here it is. So let us come, how? Boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. But here's the thing. When you need it most is when you feel most unworthy to come. It's when you're most timid and hesitant. But he says, look, Ronnie, on your own, you're not worthy to come before the throne of God. But listen carefully, my friends. Jesus Christ is supremely worthy to be your Savior, to be your intercessor, to be your mediator, to be your forgiver. And we can come boldly and get this compassion and mercy from our great God who gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ went to the cross and died a particular kind of death for you, tasting of spiritual death in your place so that you might be reconciled. And this is where we stand. This is our God. And his grace is available and it is abundant. Don't you let the evil one do a number on your soul and on your psyche and convince you that you need to stay over here in some penalty box. You don't need to stay in the penalty box. You need to come right back into the glow of the fullness of God's grace and purposes for you, into the work that Jesus has for you, and that because of his mercy and his grace, and that he forgives sin, the great gift to you is you can repent and turn to the Lord, and there you are, and you are fully qualified to serve in the body of Christ. Okay. My name's Ronnie Norman. How would you describe me? Suppose someone were to describe me by saying, Ronnie Norman, okay, he's got long dark hair. He's got long dark hair, comes down over his ears. Normally, when I see him, he's walking around dribbling a basketball or flipping a drumstick. Age-wise, he looks to me to be 17 years old. Height, maybe just a shade under 5'10", and weight, I think he probably weighs 150 pounds. Question, is that an accurate description of me? Answer, yes. Yes, in 1975. In 1975, 50 years ago, I was 17. I had long, dark hair. Guess what? This is not 1975. This is 2025. I'm still a shade under 5'10". I'm no longer 17. I'm 67. I no longer have dark, longer hair. It's short, graying hair. I no longer weigh 150 pounds. I'm up now to about 152 or so. I'm not the same person I was in 1975, physically or spiritually. Here's what some of you have done to yourself. You look back to a misdeed or a season of rebellion or a time when you did something that you regret. Anybody in this room ever done anything that they regret besides me? And here's what you do. You'll look in the mirror and you'll say, there I am. I'm 1975. I'll always be 1975 in my eyes. There I am. I'm 2002. I'll always be. You know what happened in 2002. There I am. I'm 2011. I'll always be 2011. No. God gives you permission to come out from that blockade. And my friends, listen, It's important that we do this for one another as well. It's important that with one another, as we are church together over a long period of time, you're going to see my good moments, and you may be well aware of a misdeed, a misstep on my part. And it is vital that you say to me, Ronnie, you're no longer 1975 in my book. You're no longer 2002 in my book. And when we traffic in the gracious exchange and in the gracious distribution of new beginnings and the freshness of God's mercy and grace, that's a beautiful environment and aroma and atmosphere in a church where God can show up and continue to do wonderful things in changing lives. Okay, I've talked long enough. Here we go. What's your next step? Is it to come back to church next Sunday? You ready to be baptized? Maybe your next step is to say, today, Lord God, I want to lean afresh into your nature and claim afresh your compassion and mercy and purposes for me. And Lord, I've been too short-nosed. Grow my nose to be a little more patient with people around me. At any rate, this is an opportunity too. We're going to be standing and singing. If you'd like to pray with one of the shepherds here, this is a great time to do that. Everyone, let's stand and sing together.